Well, amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight, and it's good to see you guys tuning in. And so go ahead, get your Bibles ready and get your notebooks. And tonight I'm going to be talking about something that actually, I shared this message a while back earlier this summer, and I just want to revisit it again and just kind of have a look at this once again. It's the title I used was God of the Turnaround, and some of you might remember that. You know, we talked about that, and we were in service together, and we were actually all spinning around. We were turning things around. And so tonight we're going to revisit this conversation that we were having. I just felt that I needed to go back here again, and you know, a lot of times I'm just preaching to myself, you know, just things that I need to hear, and smack myself around a little bit. And so hopefully you'll be encouraged by this tonight. Well, this last little while, for sure, you know, we've been going through some crazy times. And we had our staff meeting yesterday, and we had a Spirit Alive meeting today, and we were talking about different things. And, you know, I've chose to take a break from news media for a little while. A few nights ago, I was up, and it was rather late, actually, and I was online on my phone reading news articles at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you something. There's nothing good on the internet at 1:30, at 2 o'clock in the morning that you need to be reading, all right? And so I started reading all these articles and started getting all this stuff. You know what happened? I started to get afraid. I was like, man, oh man, I feel like this anxiety was coming over me, and I'm like, what is going on? I actually, for a minute there, was like being consumed by what I was reading. And I was like, this got to stop. I can't have this. And so right then and there, I made a decision that, you know what, I got to be careful what I'm reading, because I got to understand and I got to know who's for me. I got to understand that God is with me. I don't have to be stressing out and worrying about these things. And so I give myself a shake, and I woke up the next morning all tired and stuff because I didn't get a good night's rest because I tossed and turned and it wasn't good. I need my sleep. I'm going to tell you, you think I just wake up looking like this? Like, come on now, you need good your beauty rest. And I haven't got enough over the years. But, you know, it was just one of those things, and it struck me. It's like, you know what? I need to smarten up. And so instead of buying into all the crazy stuff that's going on, I chose to kind of very much so limit my media intake, because you got to be careful what you're eating and understand and be careful what you're reading and what you're putting on the inside of you. So I had to do something there. I had to change it. I had to turn around, you know, the way that I was going. And I found myself, instead of now going to the news media, I'm actually grabbing the Bible a little bit more now. And I'm reading some other books now even more. Just because, you know what, I need to see what the Word of God says about this situation that we're going through. Amen? Turn over in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30, verses 11 and 12 in the Amplified Version. And it should be on your screen there. It says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Woo! In the New Living Translation, let's look at it in the New Living. It says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." Now let me tell you something. That passage of Scripture has been a great encouragement to me the last little while, because it's so easy to get caught up in the crazy that's happening around us. Now, I've talked to different people, and a lot of people are feeling stressed out. A lot of people are feeling anxiety. A lot of people are dealing with different concerns in their lives. A lot of people have been affected the last little while by what's been going on. You know, it's hard not being able to travel where you want to go, and now we're in this lockdown again, and things are still limited on what you can do. And really, it kind of looks like we might be in this for a little while longer, and it's like, oh Lord, help us type thing, you know? Well, let me tell you something, is that you have to make the decision here on how you're going to handle this. And so I know for me and my family, we've chosen to come together and, you know, do things. We choose not to have a bad attitude. Now, there's times when, you know, we can have some intense fellowship around the house. Don't get me wrong. When you have four children and two parents, You know, it can get kind of exciting sometimes, and there's going to be a lot of things that comes up, and you might have a little bit of strife sometimes, but the thing is, you don't stay there. And so we find ourselves doing family activities together and doing certain things and watching movies, and, you know, I'm thankful the kids are still in school because they need that. But the Lord is using this time, I believe, for my family, and He's teaching us, He's using us, and He's bringing us together. And you know what? I'm excited to see the outcome. You know, my children, they are getting to spend time with each other. Sometimes it's a World War III, but, you know, they're doing it. But it's good to see what's happening. It's good to see they were doing arts and crafts together and building Lego sets together. And, you know, it's really interesting to see. So, in saying all that, going through this stuff, going through this time that we're going through, it can be very, very tough. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18 in the New Living Translation. And it says, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lay empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in the God of my salvation." Now, it might seem like the whole world around you is crashing down, and it might seem like nothing is going the way you want it to go. But let me tell you something. You still rejoice in the Lord because He is our God of our salvation. He has still got each and every one of us. And you know what? Believe it or not, He is still on the throne, and He's still got me and you. And so that's something that we have to keep reminding ourselves, is that we don't have to stay stuck in the mud or going down the road of unbelief or discouragement or anything of the sort, but instead we need to turn ourselves around a little bit sometimes. Okay? Wasn't that cool? I know. Woohoo! See, there you go, where you are. See, wherever you are right now, turn around. I got a squeaky chair. We need some WD-40 up here. But see, you can turn around. And that's what we need to do. You need to turn around. You need to stop looking at all that ugly stuff. You need to stop focusing on those things that's going to bring you down. But you have to focus on God. So how do you start doing this? How do you start turning these things around? How do you start getting, you know, the change happening? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm just so excited to tell you. First of all, and this is very basic, this is very simple, this is 101 stuff, but you know what, it's good to hear it again, is that first of all, you need to know the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about you just go to church once in a while or turn on every now and then, but I'm talking about you actually have a genuine relationship with the Father. Because in order for you to be a success in life, you have to know who the Father is, what He's done for you, and what benefits belong to you because of who He is. Now, a lot of times we tend to fail this because, you know, we're not into that relationship with our Father like we need to be. We're lacking things in our lives because we don't know what belongs to us because we don't have that connection to the Father. How do you build a relationship? Well, you have to have conversation. You have to get to know. You have to talk back and forth. You have to, you know, communicate. You know, it's key. Communication is key in any relationship, and the same thing is important here. You know, turn over your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let's take a look at this here. 2 Peter 3:18 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen." You see, right here, it's telling us that we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know who He is. We need to know what the Lord's done for us. You know, in Bible school, we're actually going through the book of Ephesians. And it's one of the classes I'm teaching. And, you know, Ephesians is a fairly short book. It's only 6 chapters. But I really like the way that it's broken down. Because in the first chapter, it reveals God's plan. And in the second chapter, it reveals how Christ executed the plan. And then in the third chapter, it talks about how the Holy Spirit reveals the plan. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 kind of teaches us how we take the practicalities and we apply it to our lives. And so that's what we need to do, is that we need to have an understanding that God has a plan for us, that Jesus executed it, and we need to be led by the Spirit so we have an understanding of it. But not only that, we need to live it out. And so in order for us to reap the benefits of all of that, is that we need to have it active in our lives. You see, a lot of times we get content going the same way. We enjoy going down, and for some reason people enjoy being stressed out. Some people enjoy worrying. Why? You know, why would you do that to yourself? It's been proven that anxiety, stress, and worry will shorten someone's life. It can actually bring on sickness and disease in your body. And that is no fun now, is it? No, it's not. So, we must know who the Father is. So, who is He? Well, I'm glad you asked who. You know, you get into the Word of God, and we can actually see who He is. Now, even in the Old Testament, God had a bunch of different names that they would refer Him to. In the Old Testament, there's very descriptive names for God. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. El Elan, the Most High God. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. El Olim, the everlasting God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shabbath, the Lord of hosts. And there's a bunch more names for God. But you see, that is very descriptive because that's who He is. He is Almighty God. He is the Most High God. He is our banner. He is our shepherd. He's the one that heals. He's the Lord that is always there. He is our righteousness. He is the one who satisfies. He's the everlasting God. He is the Lord that will provide. He is the Lord our peace. And He is the Lord of hosts. See, that's my God. That's who He is. You know, He was the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. We can just go on and try and describe Him. And you know what? We won't do justice because that's my King. That's my God. He is so awesome. But you see, we have to know who He is. Once we have an understanding of who God is, man, and once we start getting into and start digging after that, things start changing. Amen? Now, because of knowing Him, there also has to be something else that takes place. The second thing that happens here, you know, to turn things around, is once we know who God is, or once we start finding out who He is we need to have a response to knowing Him. So it's one thing to have all this knowledge, which is great, but we need to act on this knowledge and do something. We just can't be hearers of the Word and not doers. We're supposed to be doers of the Word. We're supposed to be doing something. We are never called to sit down on our duffs all day long and then just listen to all these great teachings and do nothing with it. We are not called to do that. We're not supposed to be doing that. Scripture tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, Pastor Steve, we can't travel right now. Get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know. Get on something. Go talk to somebody. You can put up an encouraging word every now and then. You can put up a scripture verse or something that's encouraging to somebody, can't you? You know, actually, here's the fact, be friendly to people. That's fun and easy to do. Oh, you mean I got to smile at somebody? Yeah, of course you do. It's kind of hard under your mask these days, but when you got a real smile, you can see it in your eyes. You know, it's kind of interesting, this last little while, because of all the masks that's on everybody, I really find myself now looking into people's eyes to see their emotions. You know? And so you got to tell, like, you can tell when someone's genuinely happy or when someone's sad just by looking at their eyes. You know, we've been forced to do this now because of the masks, you know. But do that. Smile with your eyes. Don't be frowning with your whole entire face, but smile. Be happy. 2 Corinthians 5:21 in New Living Translation. Let's look at that real quick. Hope you guys are getting something out of this tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the New Living Translation, says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, so that to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Now here in 2 Corinthians 2:21, we see that Jesus did something for us. He died so that we could have eternal life. But also through his death, he made us righteous. Now, because of our righteousness, there has to be a response to that. Now, God made me and you righteous. Now, Scripture tells us that our own righteousnesses are as dirty rags. So that's based on your own merit, your own, you know, idolatry, the way that you think yourself, your own, you know, yourself type thing, the things that you do. Well, you know what? You might be the sweetest person in the world, and you might go out and feed the hungry and clothe the poor and give money away and shovel the neighbor's driveway all the time and take in stray dogs and cats and, you know, march in parades and, you know, you do all these runs for different organizations and you raise money for this and that. But if you don't have Jesus, well, let me tell you something. Well, you know, maybe you'll get a gold star and a pat on the back from the organization, but when it comes to your eternal life and to all those things, well, you know what? You need Jesus. You need salvation. It's the only way it works. Scripture tells us that the only way to the Father is through Jesus. And so therefore, if that's the case, we need to make sure that, you know what? If we know who the Father is, and then we have Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, well, then we need to respond with a life that is worthy of what Christ has done for me and you. So Jesus died on the cross. He took our sin, our sickness, our disease, and all those nasty things that we don't need anymore, threw it away. Now, because of that, we have the right and the privilege to reign as kings in life. We no longer have to be downtrodden. We no longer have to be depressed and sad and broken, disgusted. We don't have to put up with that stuff. But we need to act on that. We need to get something in motion on that. Amen? Action, reaction. So because God made us righteous through what Jesus did, well then now we need to respond to that righteousness by living a holy, acceptable life set apart to God. And now this is kind of interesting because when you start getting your life lined up with what God wants you to do, you really start seeing a shift in your life. You'll start seeing things change. So the path that you thought you were going down, it's probably going to change. Because when you stop thinking about what you want to do and you start focusing on what God wants you to do, you're going to turn around, man. God's going to turn your situations around. Things are going to change. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be absolutely brutally honest with you. I do not think that we're ever going to go back to the way things were. I really don't. I think that that's a thing of the past. What I do believe is that God is going to look after us. And I do believe that God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. And I believe that God is going to bless us and take care of us. That's what I believe. Amen? You better be shouting at your TV right now or your computer screen. Because that's facts. There was always changes throughout history. But let me tell you something. God was always there. All right, let's keep going. Now, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation, we're going to look at real quick. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See now, once we start going after the things of God, and once we start responding to who he is and what he's done for us, well then right there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you, and let them be a living and holy sacrifice." That's meaning you surrender yourself over to God and let God use you. Why? Because there's benefits in it. Because there's blessings in it. Now, it's not always easy. You know, it's funny because when you allow God to use you, you'll do things that you never thought you would ever do. Did I ever think that I'd be sat down in Thunder Bay, Ontario, preaching, you know, to people online from all over? No, I didn't. You know, I was back home in Newfoundland, and for a couple summers there, a couple seasons, I was a fisherman. You know, I fished on a big boat, and, you know, I was pretty content doing that. I could have done that. There was one little spell there. I even thought about becoming an airplane pilot. I could have done that. You know, I was actually accepted into flight school. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine me flying airplanes? That's a scary thought. Maybe it's a good thing that didn't happen. You know? But there's different scenarios and different things that we all, you know, we had different aspirations in our lives. And, you know, we thought that we were going to do stuff our way or whatnot. But it's amazing that when you surrender your heart over to God and you actually stop what you're doing, get out of your own headspace, get into God's headspace, well, then He starts revealing things onto you. Now, I didn't know every step of the way. I started being obedient. You know, I went to Bible school, ended up going down in Oklahoma, down to Rhema. And you know, I had two fantastic years of my life down there serving at Rhema, and so, you know, fully submersed yourself into that whole culture. It was fantastic. And then, you know, lo and behold, ended up in Thunder Bay, of all places, and man, it's been awesome. It's been fantastic. Not saying that we haven't had our ups and downs and our stuff, you know, issues and stuff like that, but that's called life, and you go through those scenarios and situations. But, you know, God will use you in ways, and it's so great, the people that we've met and the lives that have been changed and impacted. You know, it's just so wonderful that you can be a part of such a great ministry. Amen? So therefore, we need to make sure that our bodies are devoted over to God, that we are willing to look after ourselves so that God can use us for what He needs us to do. Amen? All right, well, let's keep going here. We have been made righteous, so our response is to live a pleasing life to God. God made you righteous. We're supposed to live a holy and acceptable life unto God that is pleasing to Him. So we get out of our own way of thinking, forget about that. Old things have passed away. Scripture tells us, behold, all things have become new, and you act like the new creature in Christ on who you are supposed to be. Amen? So, the Scriptures are full of telling us that we need to be renewing our minds as well, because that can be a big hindrance. That could be a big problem, is that we can be stuck in our own carnal thinking. Well, we got to change that a little bit. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You know what? And that's positive or negative. The tongue can bring death or life. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of death talk going on, a lot of negative talk going on today. Well, we need to change that, forget about that, and we need to change the atmosphere, we need to change the conversation, we need to start speaking some positivity over people and over these situations and over our city and over our country and over what's going on. You know, we need to stop looking at the negative all the time and start looking at the positive. Fear-mongering is going on all over the world right now. Well, we need to stop that, and we can be the change in that. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. So if the Lord has a good plan for us, does that mean we're supposed to stay on a horrible road? No, we're not. If God's got a plan for us, well, we need to get off that old road, and we need to get on the road that He wants us to be on. He has a path for us. Because remember, we're talking about how He is the God of the turnaround. Well, in Scripture, we see a whole bunch of scenarios and instances where God turned things around for people. For instance, Moses in the Red Sea in the book of Exodus chapter 14. Pharaoh's army was closing in on Moses, and the Hebrew children were at the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was there in front of them. So they had enemies coming at the back, and they had an impassable obstacle in front of them. What were they going to do? You know? Well, God had an opportunity, and He took it. God done something really cool there. He used Moses to act in faith, and He opened up a highway right through the sea. Amen? God turned around a bleak situation. You know, a really hard-looking time in those Israelites or those Hebrew children's lives. Man, and He changed things around right there. Also, You know, over in Joshua chapter 6, we see he helped Joshua take the promised land, tear down the walls that was keeping them from what God had for them. Remember the big place, the big city called Jericho? It was huge. But what did they do? They took that. Well, that area that was supposed to, that was in the way of them claiming their promised land. Well, let me tell you something. God's got a promised land for me and you. God's got things, promises for me and you. We need to tear down those walls that's in front of us. God is the God of the turnaround. He's going to change those scenarios, those situations, if we stand with Him, if we believe with Him, and if we act on what He says. What about over in 1 Samuel chapter 17? We see how He helped David become a giant slayer. You know, that's a big situation right there. When you got a giant in your way and taunting you, making fun of you, and saying he's going to kill you and take you out, you might have a giant in your life. You might have some scenario in your life that seems pretty big. The doctor report might seem pretty big. The bank account might seem pretty small. And the debt might seem pretty big. But let me tell you something. Little David, he was only a shepherd boy. And what did he do? He took out that giant because he trusted in what the Word of God said. And God turned that situation right around. And David led that army into victory. Amen? And what about that time when a man who was dead was thrown on the bones of Elisha and came back to life? You know, that's kind of exciting when you think about it. Over in 2 Kings 13, 20 to 21, listen to this. It says, then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once, when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and jumped to his feet. Well, let me tell you something. That guy, he was pretty bleak. He was done. He was dead. Like no pulse. Done. But what happened? He got thrown, literally thrown, the scripture says, onto the bones of Elisha. And what happened? He got up. Now that was a big turnaround right there, amen? Sometimes we need to throw some old dead weight off and see what happens. See if we get some things revived around here, you know? See what's happening. Amen. Another one. Jesus healed the nobleman's son. I actually talked about this last night in Bible school with our first-year students. In John chapter 4, verses 46 to 52, in the New Living Translation, it says, as he traveled through Galilee, he came to Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a government official in nearby Capernaum whose son was very sick. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged Jesus to come to Capernaum to heal his son, who was about to die. Jesus asked, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? The official pleaded, Lord, please come now before my little boy dies. Then Jesus told him, go back home, your son will live. And the man believed what Jesus said and started home. While the man was on his way home, some of his servants met him with the news that his son was alive and well. He asked him when the boy had begun to get better, and he replied, yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Now you see right there, the man had a big scenario, a big situation, a big problem. His little boy was dying. He went to Jesus. And guess what? He believed on what Jesus said, and that little boy, he lived. That man's situation, that little boy's situation was turned around because they had faith in God. They trusted in God. He seen Jesus. He acted on what Jesus said. He believed in Jesus, and he went back home, and that was it. He didn't argue and say, oh, Lord, come, oh, well, you need this. No, he believed. God made a way for things for us to turn around. When it looks like it's the end, don't worry about it. God's got you. God has a way of standing back and saying, watch this. Because he's given us what we need to do the turnaround with. He's given us him. We have that power. Scripture tells us that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So that same devil blasting power is what we got flowing through us. So we need to make sure we know who our Father is. We need to make sure that we are having a reaction to who he is. We need to make sure that we are living that life, you know, and we have to believe in Him. And then we just walk in it. Not always easy. Don't get me wrong. It's not always easy, but you keep doing it anyhow. You keep working at it. You keep walking in the things of God. And God's going to be turning around those situations. God's going to be changing things around. But you got to let Him, and you got to work with Him. You got to give God something to work with. You can't fight Him tooth and nail on stuff and try to hold on to the past. Because you keep looking to the past, you're never going to get to the future. We got to look forward. We got to keep moving forward. We got to trust in Him. So ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are watching tonight, we do not need to be stressing about tomorrow. You don't need to be stressing about today, because we serve the God of the turnaround. He'll turn bleak situations and He'll turn them right around, but we just got to trust in Him and believe in Him, know who He is. He's a good, good Father. Like I said, He's our joy, He's our peace, you know. And we don't go around in life all the time being down in the mouth and being sad and depressed. Like that scripture verse that Miss Anita had talked about, we need to have joy. It's important for us to have joy. How many of you got joy right now? Well, if you don't, turn it on. Fake it till you make it. Start laughing a little bit. You need to have some joy. Amen? And our text, scripture verse that we looked at right at the very beginning, we'll look back at it again in Psalms 30, 11, and 12 in the New Living. It says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing." Don't always feel like dancing, but sometimes you got to do it anyway. Pastor Roma's there doing the jig. Man, he is all over the place. Whee! "You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." You need to take off the old stuff, get rid of the old man, put on the new. Walk in the fullness. Walk in the joy. Come on now. Wherever you are right now, just throw your hands up towards heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord. I trust in you. I have the joy on the inside of me. I am not stressing out about nothing. Lord, I got you. You got me. Lord, I thank you." Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. There you go. He's the God of the turnaround. Stand up. Everyone stand up wherever you are. Stand up. Now, you got to do this. You got to do this. I got to sit down. I got to stay and just sit, but I got a spinny chair. Hold on. We got to do this. We got to turn around. You got to turn around. Amen? I'm going to buy a can of WD-40 for this chair. That's for sure and certain. Sounds like a wheel bearing's gone. Amen? Well, I'm so glad you guys tuned in tonight. I had a lot of fun sharing with y'all. But before we go, I just want to pray with each and every one of you. If you're watching on here and you're saying, "Well, Pastor Steve, you're crazy." Well, I know that. That's not new news, you know. But if you're on here and you're saying, "You know what, it was good. And, you know, I needed this. And I need the God of the turnaround in my life. I need to get things back on track with God. I need to rededicate my life onto Him. I need to make sure that me and God is focused together, that we're connected up together." If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Also, Miss Anita's there in the chat. And if you got any questions or anything of the sort, you can go right ahead and you know, just put that in there. If you've got a prayer request or anything of the sort, you can send that in right now. But we're going to pray together real quick before we go. And so if you need to reconnect with Christ, if you need to make sure that you got the God of the turnaround on your side, well, let's all pray this prayer together. Say, "Father God, I thank you for being so good to me. Now, Father God, tonight I dedicate my heart, my life, all of me to you. You are the God of the turnaround. I trust in you. I believe in you. And I expect you to do things in my life. I love you, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen."